The point of that whole video is to show that people really don't know what love is, right? Obviously, we got like 12 different answers there, 15 different answers. But everyone is looking for love, but they can't describe it, they don't understand it. Some people would say you just know when you're in love or when you fall in love. So that's what we're going to talk about tonight. What is love? But not what is common romantic love, but what is God's kind of love that we're supposed to have for each other. So let's pray, and we will get into it. God, I just thank you for the students you brought here tonight, and that you had this planned a long time ago, that this was the group we'd have as we study through this material. And I just pray that you'd help us to understand your word, help us to apply your word, and maybe tonight just start changing our thinking about what love is and how we are to love those around us, and when we're in a relationship, how we're supposed to love the other person. Just show us what your kind of love is so that we can reflect your kind of love in this world that doesn't really understand and know what love is. Pray this all in your name. Amen. All right. Bunch of things listed on that video that you guys saw. I'm going to draw a comparison between what I'm going to call common romantic love. That's like common love that the world seeks, the world has for each other, that people in general seek to have for each other, and God's kind of love. Common romantic love is the kind of love that says, I love you because of the way you make me feel when I'm with you. The more I know you, the more I love you. You are my soulmate. I just know. I'm in love. How do you know you're in love? I just know. I just am. You just know it when it happens. There's a fundamental problem with that kind of love, and we'll kind of see it as we go through tonight. But if you fall into love, which is a common phrase that people use, then you can fall out of love, right? If you don't know where love comes from, if you don't know what true love is, then that love can fade as that person changes, as the way they make you feel changes, as you do get to know them more than you really want to know them and really understand truly who they are, that can fade. But God has a totally different plan, and it's a way, way, way better plan for how we are to love each other. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5. You guys, somebody already have that? Of course not. Cars aren't fast enough. Ephesians chapter 5. On page 802. Ephesians 5, starting in verse 1, says this. Says, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. So he starts out and he says, be imitators, which means be mimickers or copiers of God. Be a photocopy of God, a duplicate image of God. And then he says, how you do that? Because we're children, we need to reflect our Heavenly Father, be like our Heavenly Father, be a copy of our Heavenly Father. And then he says how to do that. He says to walk in love. And the word love there is agape. We talked a little bit about this earlier on in the year. But it's the Greek word agape. We use love to describe lots of different ideas that are very, very much different than each other. We say we love ice cream, we love our dog, we love our country, we love our parents, we love our boyfriend or girlfriend, we love whatever. We use love for a lot of different things. In Greek, they actually had separate words for most of those ideas. And this word is actually a unique word to describe God's kind of love. It wasn't used in any other context other than to describe Yahweh God's kind of love. And it's this love called agape love. And so he says, walk in agape, agape love, just as Christ also agaped you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. We are to love, we are to agape as God agaped. God, by definition, his very nature is agape. 1 John 4:8 says God is love. That's who he is. He is love. By his very nature, he is agape. Any way that you can describe the way God responds to us, the way God cares for us, the way God does what's best in our lives, how he acts out in our lives, that is agape. By the definition, it's how God acts. It's who he is, and we are to mimic that. Common love, whether they say it or not, it's usually by example, they're in it for what they can get out of the relationship. If I'm not getting something out of the relationship, then I'm out. It's about meeting my needs. It's about what I can get from you, what you do for me, how you make me feel when I'm with you. It's about me. Honestly, logically, people would go, why would I be in a relationship? Why would I be in a friendship, in a maintain relationships with a family, maybe after you're gone and as an adult? Why would you be dating someone if I am getting nothing out of it? Why would I even be maybe in a marriage if I'm not getting anything out of it? What will you... how will you show me that you love me? Melissa and I were actually at a restaurant. I don't remember what restaurant it was. I don't remember the context of why we were there. I think it was a spaghetti factory or something. But we got put in this really bad seat where it was just the two of us. And it was like our table was here, and the two of us were here. And there was like this much space, and then there was this long table right next to us. And we were right next to this group of people. It's a totally packed out restaurant. We were like stuck in the corner. It was a horrible, horrible seat. And so we were talking, but we could clearly, I mean, it was like we were sitting at the same table as these people right next to us. And it was these girlfriends all hanging out, all just hanging out and talking. And basically our whole meal, we listened to this one girl tell the rest of her girlfriends things like, I think I'm going to divorce so-and-so, whatever his name was. I'm not getting anything out of this. I just know if I break up with him, if I divorce him, that some other guy can easily make me more happy than he is. It's over. We're done. Why would I stay in a relationship that I'm not getting anything out of? Those kind of ideas were just flowing. And that is so, so, so common. Because the idea out there is that somehow love is about how you love me, not about how I love you. Even in the best circumstances, people would say the best marriages, the best relationships are a give and take relationship, which means sometimes I'll do things for you, sometimes I'll show love for you, but at least half the time you need to show love for me. It's a give and take, it's back and forth. Agape love is completely and utterly sacrificial. The epitome of God's love was displayed in Jesus. Verse 2, it says, just as Christ also agaped you, and how did he agape you? By giving himself up for us. He sacrificed himself for us. Agape, by its very nature, is sacrificial. Agape is always looking for ways to sacrifice what I want for what you want, what I need for what you need. Agape is willing to give up my needs, my dreams, my wants at any moment for the person loved. That's agape love. Not like our world loves, huh? Our world does not love this way. It does not even think this kind of love is something to be pursued. Because it's about me. I need to get something out of this, right? God's kind of love, the agape kind of love that we should have for everyone, but in this context of guy-girl relationships, it's definitely the kind of love that we should have in that kind of a relationship, that it's about what I can sacrifice, what I can give up, and that I'm willing to do that at any time for that other person. It's about them, not about me. 1 John 4:10 is up here. You don't have to flip to it. Says, in this is love. It's that word agape again. In this is agape, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Propitiation, which is a really long and hard to say word and a weird word, all it means is full payment, complete payment for what is due. And it says here that his son, Jesus, was the full payment for our sins, which is awesome. But the more important thing that I want to look at here is that it says, this is agape. He's trying to describe what agape love is, the kind of love that we're supposed to have for each other, the kind of love we're supposed to have within a guy-girl relationship. He says, and this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us. See, God didn't send Jesus to die on the cross for us because we loved him. He didn't go, you know what? Nate loves me so much, I have to send my son to die for him. Melman loves me so much, Jesus, you've got to go and die for Melman. Look at how much Melman loves me. We were actually the farthest we could be from God. We didn't love him at all. We disregarded him. We disregarded his word. We disregarded everything he wanted for us. And it was at that point where we could not get any farther away from God that he sent his son to die for us. Common love says this. I'm the important one in the relationship. I have needs too. What about what I want? Let me look at this relationship and weigh the cost of this relationship with the benefit. And if the benefits don't outweigh the cost, why am I in this? God's kind of love, the kind of love that we're supposed to have, agape love, is love that says, you know what? I'm going to love you, not because I get something out of it, but just because I want to show you love. Regardless of what I get out of it. What we need to be thinking about, how we can apply this, I guess, is that when we're in a relationship, maybe you've been in a relationship and you can ask yourself, did I really evaluate it this way? But we need to think, is this relationship what's best for them? Of course, we make the choice of whether to be in that relationship or not. But the question is this what's best for them? Because this may be what's best for me. This may be exactly what I need out of a relationship. But maybe it's not what's best for them. Agape love, the kind of love that we're supposed to have, would say, is this what's best for them? Would moving from friendship to a dating relationship be best for them? I want that. I want to see that happen. But is that what's best for them? Is getting engaged what's best for them? I want to get engaged, but is that good for them? Getting married. I want to get married. I love this person. Of course, I want to get married to them. Is it what's best for them? You may look and go, you know what? I've seen this guy that I'm interested in, that I want to date. I've seen him in a dating relationship, and his relationship with God struggles when he's in a dating relationship. He kind of gets consumed with the girl, and And that's just kind of something he struggles with. If you're thinking about him, you're going to go, you know what? I really would love to have this relationship, but I don't think it's what's best for him. See, agape love is selfless. It takes the other person into account before it takes us into account. Do you see how that's just so different than the way the world loves? But we are so inundated with messages about what real love is, what true love is. This is true love. True love is sacrificial, and it's selfless. Galatians 5:13, it's also up here. It says this. It says, "For you were called to freedom, brethren, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." We have all sorts of freedom in Christ, and I hope you guys learn about what amazing freedom we have in Christ. We have great freedom in so many areas, and we have great freedom in relationships. We have freedom to choose who we want to be in relationships with and who we want to pursue and all those kind of things. But he says, do not use that freedom that you have. You do have lots of freedom. You have more freedom than anyone who is not following Christ will ever have. But do not use that freedom to try to satisfy your own wants, your own desires. Instead, serve one another in love. You are free to choose who you want to be with. You are free to do so many things within the bounds of a relationship, but your goal should be to serve. You're free to do whatever you want, but don't use that freedom for your own self to get what you want. Instead, choose to serve. Choose to make your love the kind of love that serves. Common love, whether it comes out of their mouth or not, says, what can you do for me? How can I benefit from this relationship? I would love for you to serve me. That sounds great. That's the kind of relationship I want, to be served. Mark 10:45, which I don't have up here, I'm just going to read to you, says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." The God of the universe came down as a man, the King of all creation, came and lived on this earth for roughly 33 years. I don't know about you, but I think all of the world should have stopped whatever they were doing for those 33 years and come and bowed down and worshiped Jesus every moment, every second, waited on him hand and foot to do whatever he desired. And that still would have not given him what he deserved. If there was anyone, anywhere, at any time, that should have been served, who should have expected for people to wait on him, hand and foot, it was Jesus. But instead, because he loved with agape love, by his very nature, he was loving. But instead, he spent his life serving others. He spent every moment of every day of his 33 years serving others. That's what we're called to. That's the kind of love that we're called to show in our relationships. Romans 5, if you guys will look that up, flip over to it. A little bit back from where we were a while ago. Tell us what page that is, Mom, when you find it. It's after Acts. before 1 Corinthians?
He probably says after.
It's after Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. 771. There we go. 771. Flip to that. This kind of rounds out the whole idea, sums up kind of the ideas that we've been looking at so far. Romans chapter 5, starting verse 6, says, "For while we were still helpless," which means we were sick, we were weakly, we were a wimp, if you really want to be literal with it, we were wimps. We had no power to do anything about our situation. While we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Ungodly is actually a very strong word that means that we had no regard for God whatsoever. We were wholly without God, wholly uninterested in God. We had God in no way in our lives, no reflection of God in any way. Verse 7, it says, "For one would hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for a good man someone would dare even to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." I think we've lost the seriousness, we've lost God's perspective on what that term sinners means. It is nasty. And I actually had some analogies to make, but I actually thought it would be too shocking to make some of the analogies that I was going to make. But for God, think about the worst possible human act you can ever imagine and how disgusting that human act you can think of is. That is how disgusted God is, and far more than that, with our sin. That's who we were. We were those disgusting, horrible, far from God, no regard for God, people. But God's example for us is that while we were that, at the same exact time that we were that, Christ died for us. We were enemies from him, we were sinners with no love for God, and he died for us at that exact moment. Common love says you have to meet my standards. I have certain standards, and if you want to associate with me, if you want to have a relationship with me, you meet those standards. If you want to continue to be my boyfriend, you need to meet these standards. You must do something to earn my love. What have you done for me lately? Yeah, you were great. It was great for a while. I had the butterflies for a while, but what about lately? What's going on now? You fulfill your end of the relationship, I'll fulfill mine. This kind of love usually leads to manipulation. It usually leads to me trying to make you, this happens a lot in marriages, me trying to make you the person I want you to be. Because you're not the person I want you to be. You're not doing what I want you to do. And so I'm going to manipulate you, I'm going to yell at you, I'm going to nag at you, I'm going to do whatever it takes to mold you into the person I want you to be. That's the kind of love that is common romantic love. Agape love is unconditional. Agape is not when I'm shown love, I will love. When someone cares for me, I will care for them. I love you if you do this, when you do this, as long as you are this way. Agape love loves even though whatever, despite, even when, even in the face of you being this way, is undeterred by whatever. Agape love is a love that's not based on what the person loved does, says, or is. It loves in spite of those things. No matter how that person, what that person does, what that person says, what that person is. If you haven't gotten this yet, let me just sum this up. Common romantic love is based on a feeling. Lots of people on that video talked about feelings, how you feel about someone. The problem with that kind of love is feelings fade. They just do. You guys can probably even know that from your own life. Feelings fade. They don't last. They change. They're based on circumstances. They're based on how someone is or what they do for you. Agape love is based on a choice. A choice to care for and do what's best for the person loved, regardless of what they're doing in return. Regardless of who they are, regardless of what they say, regardless of what they do, it loves in spite of those things. That choice is something that can be constant and consistent. It's the thing that makes God's love for us so amazing, is that it just remains the same. No matter how we treat God, no matter how we love him, no matter how we show our love for him, no matter whether we show love for him or not, his love does not change because he's chosen to love us in spite of us. That's the kind of love we're called to. And maybe you guys are looking at this and going, this kind of love is impossible. Who can love this way? You're right. On our own, completely impossible. When we're dependent upon God, completely possible. And actually, in many ways, very easy. Because all it requires us to do is live in dependence upon God, going, God, I can't love this way. I can't agape anyone. But you can agape through me. This is the kind of love that we should be expressing in all of our relationships, including dating relationships, which we happen to be talking about this series. Do you understand God's kind of love? One question I have. And then just as a side note, as something to reflect on, because this is really about us evaluating us, but as you evaluate a possible person to date, to pursue, to spend a lot of time with in a guy-girl relationship, does that other person understand what agape love is? Trust, at the bottom of your handout, trust that God knows what's best for you. Don't settle for something or someone that is not what God has planned for you. I'm telling you, God has someone out there for you who has been transformed in their thinking in regards to what agape love is. And are desiring to agape love you. And they won't be perfect. They won't. We do not love perfectly. Only God does. But we have the ability, as we are dependent upon him, to do that. Questions at the bottom. What needs to change in the way you think about love? And what are three lessons that God is teaching you or reminding you of tonight? As you guys finish up, just want you to reflect on those four things that we talked about agape love being. And I want you guys to close your eyes and just listen to this. This is the kind of love that God desires for you to live. And he also desires for you to be loved this way. Just picture what this is like. And every time I use the word love here, it's agape love that he's talking about. It says, love never gives up. No, sorry. Love is patient. Love is kind. It is not jealous. Love does not brag. Love is not arrogant. It does not act unbecomingly. It never seeks its own. Love is not provoked. Love does not take into account a wrong suffered. Doesn't keep score of wrongs suffered. Love does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but love rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things. Love believes all things. Love hopes all things. Love endures all things. And love never fails. God, we are just so thankful that you have chosen to love us with this kind of love. It's amazing. It's so against all of the ways that the world operates. It's just so clear cut how different your kind of love is compared to the love that many seek to find in each other. That it's all about us. It's a focus on us. And it's so easy to get caught in that. We just naturally are people that are self-seeking, that are looking for my wants, my desires, my hopes, my dreams to be fulfilled. And you gave up your any selfishness in yourself, which there is none, to show us what love is by sending your son to die for us on the cross when we did not deserve it in any way. God, may we strive to live our lives in this kind of love. This kind of love that is not about us. There's no description of agape love that can ever be construed as being about us. By its very nature, agape love is about the person loved. And may we make our love, the way we love, about those around us. And especially in relationships, that we would look for ways to serve, that we would look for ways to value the other person's needs, the other person's wants, that we would love them with a love that's unconditional. And we recognize that that can only come from you. And so we want to live as dependent people upon you so that we can love the way you love. I just pray as we go to sew at time that you'd help us make this practical and help it to set in our minds just what this might look like in our relationships. Pray this all in your name. Amen.